It's Aaron
and Nicole, and this is that podcast. You know it. It's Dude That's Fucked Up.
Hi, guys. How are ya?
Ooh.
You know, who knows anymore?
Yeah. We don't know.
We don't know. I don't know how I am.
I don't know how I am. It changes minute to minute, honestly.
Truly. We're here. We're doing this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
From the confines of our wonderful homes.
Mm-hmm.
We're just hunkered down.
I have a belly full of sushi I got takeout.
Oh, man. Nice. Mm-hmm. DJ made me a nice chicken dinner. Like, he was Ina and I was Jeffrey.
Oh, my. What? The role of a lifetime is Jeffrey.
Did you see the Ina Instagram of her making that Cosmo? Oh, my God.
Like, it's one. I'm like, that is a whole ass picture of Cosmos.
I loved her before. Like, I've always loved her.
Yeah.
But that really just solidified her into my soul. Like,
yeah.
It fused her being into my soul. Like, I need to be her somehow.
Yeah.
In my future self.
Or just know her.
Or just know her or meet her, you know. Congratulate her somehow.
Yeah,
on her Cosmo.
Celebrate her. We should have an Ina Garten Day. Also,
wear really loose denim shirts and
yeah,
like you know, chinos and some like you know, really nice loafers.
Yeah.
And our best gold watches and rings. And
we all go to the Hamptons.
We go to the Hamptons. We go to a farmer's market, get some beautiful fresh flowers,
mm-hmm.
you know, just really get really into it. Just how do I cosplay Ina for my everyday life?
Oh, I love this.
But I was going to say, this is a really embarrassing admission on not my part, but DJ's part. I'm really blowing up his spot is that he didn't realize that Ina is Jewish.
Oh.
And so, like, anytime she talks about making Jeffrey a Friday night dinner, she's talking about motherfucking Shabbat.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's very cute. So, our role playing is Ina and Jeffrey.
But you're Jeffrey and he's Ina.
Yeah,
I love it.
Exactly. It's great.
That's so nice.
I'm just sitting here in the corner, and I've been FaceTiming with my friend Christopher, who is a big Ina stan, and he's just like has a Cosmo every night, and we're like, "Hey, it's great, it's so good,
living the Ina way."
Mm-hmm. What else can we do?
You just do your best.
You just Ina on, soldier on.
I saw Martha Stewart's Instagram today too, and she was you know what? She was like, where's my makeup lady? Where's my hair lady? Where's my colorist? Where's, like, all this stuff? She's like, you know what? We're just going to have to deal with it. So just make sure you're conditioning. Let your hair air dry. Take care of your nails. Just keep them trimmed. She was like, you know what? We can't do everything we want to do, and we're just going to have to deal with it. So, and I
love,
like, dealing too. So
I love Martha. Martha is a fucking G. She is she's really such a babe, and I love her very much.
Oh, bless the Food Network for bringing us all these people.
Mm-hmm. Just these the OG lifestyle, you know, fucking queens.
Except fuck you for Mario Batali. Thank you very much.
Oh, true. Fuck you very much for that.
Fuck you very much.
Crocs wearing motherfucker.
For
sexual
that
assaulter.
Sexual assaulter and Crocs. I was going to say, back to a good note, Guy Fieri is doing a lot for people that are affected in the restaurant industry. And he's like giving people money and stuff. Like, you could apply for, like, it's not a grant, but you could like apply for like money if you're having a hard time and you work in the service industry and you live in like Northern California. So. You know what? There's some real special people that come from the Food Network.
Solid dude. Solid fucking dude. Just ready to take you to Flavor Town.
Yep.
Those are – I don't have –
I
want to
go there.
I want to go there. But I'm just – I don't know. There's just so much crazy shit happening, and I'm happy to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to be able to do this.
Same.
And talk to you every week. And
same.
Just – hunker down with my my boo mm-hmm. and my baby.
And your baby.
And we're making the best of it. So, yeah.
Totes.
Hope everybody's doing okay. Do we have any business?
No.
All right. Let's see.
Right?
Anything?
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, oh. I guess we do. Check out our Patreon. You don't have to pay right now, and we have content for free. You can see the sorts of things we do. It's very fun. And we did a bonus episode on that was like related to the world, like the Grimmest World Records episode, the last episode.
Wait, did you say the Grimmest World Record?
Grimmest.
Oh.
That's the name of the episode. Instead of Guinness, it was the Grimmest World Records.
I am so sorry. I thought you said Grimace, like from McDonald's. Oh. I was like,
he has his own. He set his own records.
Yeah, for being a purple butt plug.
Yeah. It was related to that, and then we also did a commentary episode on the first three episodes of Tiger King. Yeah. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which, oh my God. I sent you that video. It's like that meme of like, oh, you stupid ass bitch. Like,
yeah.
What? I don't know that full song. But anyway, it was like voicemail someone left. Then they put it to music. And now there's like a Tiger King one. It's like, Carol, you stupid ass bitch. Why you kill your husband?
Yeah. Oh.
I keep watching it over and over and over.
Oh my God.
It's so good.
She killed her husband and she's just out here fucking gallivanting with fucking tigers now.
Allegedly.
If you haven't watched it, you got to watch it.
Yeah.
That's just a little taster for you. But yeah, we did a commentary episode on that. Super mm-hmm. fun stuff on Patreon if you need some more content. But here you have a regular old episode. We're going to do this mm-hmm. right now for you.
I love it.
Anything fucked up for you this week?
Where do we want to go? Do you want like a corona-related thing? I guess it's not really corona-related. It's not like – well, it's just like a result of being home, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting out on my patio. I was like, you know what? I'm going to meditate. It was this afternoon. And I was like, I'm going to meditate. I keep just like snoozing my reminders every morning and I haven't done it in a while. And I was like – I'll do it. So I go out on our patio and I'm just sitting there and we have like dogs in the building across from us, which uh-huh. we share like – we face another building. So they have their patios face
ours. And you have like an alley in between you.
Yeah. It's
right?
like an alley. Yeah. Or like a walkway. You can't really get in down there.
Like an easement, if
yeah,
you will.
An easement. Mm-hmm. Sure. Like mm-hmm. a sidewalk or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not like super close and we're a little bit higher. So like I can't see if I'm sitting down like into people's balconies. But anyway.
Sure.
We've known for a long time. There's a bunch of dogs in that building. And when one starts barking, they all start barking. And it's like insane.
Oh, no.
But normally I'm not home. You know, most of the whatever. I'm like not paying attention. But I was like sitting out there trying to meditate. I'm like 3 minutes into my 15-minute meditation. And these dogs start up and it's like, I just snapped and I screamed like, is nobody home? Why are these dogs barking? And I was just like yelling into the void across like to the building. Cause I'm like, I always assumed the dogs freaked out cause they're home alone all day, you know, while people are at work, but everybody's fucking home. So why are
There's no excuse for this bullshit.
No. Why are you letting your dog seriously like yelp and howl and bark and throw a fit and it's causing all the dogs to throw a fit and nobody's saying anything or doing anything about it? And I like freaked out and then I was like, I like pulled myself together and then I had to restart my meditation over.
That is the opposite of meditating.
it was not good, but I was like, well, that's why I'm doing it, right? I don't know.
Oh, bummer.
So anyway, that was annoying.
Well, that's – yeah. I mean, it's all – life is just very different now. And
yeah.
Everybody's trying to adjust. it's rough.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No.
Okay.
Do you have a fucked up thing?
Yes. But I want to play a little game with it, okay? And this will also be like a little, you know – segue into our topic.
Oh my God, fun.
Okay, so we're playing a game.
Yeah.
And this is a game everybody knows. This is called Three Lies and a Truth, or or Two Lies and a Truth, maybe.
Two Truths and a Lie?
Two Truths. There you go. Two Truths and a Lie. All Lies and a Truth? Truths and a Lie? I don't know. I like typed it out and I was like, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right either. Yeah. It's
okay. Two Truths and a Lie.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
To play?
Yeah. Maybe so you're going to – so for anyone playing along at home, it works. Aaron's going to tell me three things and two of them are true and one's a lie.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Okay. First thing.
Yeah.
My house was invaded by bees.
Okay.
Second thing, I got food poisoning.
Okay.
Third thing, I had a 2-day migraine. Which of these options is the lie?
I feel like you're tricking me and they're all true.
I love you. Trick question, bitch.
I was like, dude, okay, the bee thing is too wild. It had to have happened. The mm-hmm. second thing I feel like could have happened easily. And the third mm-hmm. thing, yeah, also like could easily happen. So I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, oh my God. In the last week?
In the last 3 days, I've had all of these things happen to me.
Do you have a migraine right now?
No, I'm good.
Oh,
well, like the last 4 days, like since Tuesday, these things have been happening.
OMG.
So the first thing that happened was maybe this was, I want to say the first thing that happened was the bees came.
Okay.
And I don't know if this is ever, if you've ever seen anything like this before, or maybe you've ever heard of this, but I mean, obviously it happens, but bees have to find a home somehow. Sometimes their nest gets disrupted, their hive gets disrupted, and they have to like move along to a more stable place or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that happened to this swarm of bees that happened to start fucking flowing underneath the eaves of our house. One afternoon, and just suddenly I'm like upstairs. I had put Jack down for a nap, and I'm walking upstairs and I just start seeing bees randomly
what?
Flying by, and I'm like, oh shit. And then I like see like at least half a dozen bees just gathered on the window in our bathroom, and then I look out and there's more bees gathered on the window looking out over the street, and I'm like, oh, I didn't say Candyman. How did this happen? So they just like had moved. They were trying to like get in our house, like trying to find a place to make a hive in the eaves of our house, and got into our house. But we removed them, like literally DJ like captured them one by one in a cup and with a piece of paper, you know, and like put them outside as gently as possible.
Whoa.
And then we just sprayed like a little vinegar solution like in the place that we thought they were coming in, and that stopped them from keeping the flow of more buddies coming in, and they just they moved on.
They stopped becoming indoor bees. They'd stayed outdoor bees.
Exactly.
Whoa.
We said, no bees, get out of here. We only like killed a couple in the process, which was unfortunate. But
yeah.
What are you gonna do? Yeah,
I mean,
but we tried to get him out as humanely as possible, so that happened. Then the next night, or that night maybe, DJ made a really nice dinner, and you know, everything was great. It was delicious. Then I woke up in the middle of the night, like maybe an hour or two after I'd gone to bed, out of a dead fucking sleep. And I was like, oh no, this is bad.
Oh no.
Full vomit. Just.
No.
Yeah. Like you know, when you're a kid and you like cry from puking so much?
Yeah.
It was like that, where I was like,
no.
It was so bad. So I had, and it was fish. So.
No.
One of the worst experiences of my life. And it was so violent that my throat was like sore from it.
Were you allergic?
I don't know.
But
it was,
no one else got sick from it?
No, I think it was like my piece of fish was like I don't know. It didn't taste bad or anything, but something got me.
Oh no.
Yeah, it was rough. And then so after I had food poisoning, I was like down for the count the next day. DJ was like a fucking champ and took care of Jack all day, but I had a migraine that started up like after everything kind of got out of my system.
Dehydrated too.
I was dehydrated. I was like my whole body was like wrecked. It was a hell of a week, let me tell you.
OMG.
Yeah.
Are you sure it's not the corona?
Miss Rona did not give me a fever, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. I didn't get a fever, so I don't think so.
But and you don't have a cough.
Did not have a cough, didn't have any of that, but
oh my God.
I was like definitely very paranoid and reading all the literature that I possibly could find, but no other symptoms, so I don't think so.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, you probably food poisoning, and then you were so dehydrated, it could easily mm-hmm. trigger a migraine, and just like the force of which you're puking. It's like
And I definitely pissed myself too, so.
Oh well, yeah, of course.
It was just like everything was happening.
Yeah.
So awful.
But did you shit yourself?
No, I thought I was going to, but I didn't.
Good. So that's a win.
It was a win.
Yeah.
So my throat finally recovered like yesterday maybe.
Oh, geez.
It was like bruised almost.
It was
awful.
Oh, fish. Gross.
Yeah, it's fucking.
The band and what happened, all right?
Yeah. Aw, fish.
Okay, God.
That all leads us to our topic today, which is we are talking about some of the worst, most ill-conceived, most embarrassing, and most dangerous game shows.
Of all time.
Of all time. In the world.
Period. In the world, yeah.
There's a lot of really bad ones. We've picked out a few that I think kind of hit all the bases, really.
Yeah, I feel like we picked different ones. They're bad for different reasons. Also, I really used the Wikipedia of world's worst TV shows of all time, and these are the game shows.
Yeah, there's definitely like a rubric that people judge these by, like like ratings and, you know. I was going by a personal rubric I'd find things here and there where people had opinions or whatever. Like,
love it.
And some of these don't necessarily reflect my opinion.
Okay.
I think some of these sound kind of great. And
same.
It's pretty shocking that – well, it's not shocking that they didn't make it. But
some succumbed to their time, period. Mm-hmm, like some just weren't, you know, the world wasn't ready for it.
The world wasn't ready. Or they just didn't have the execution there for – it didn't translate to television the way it needed to.
Yeah.
They didn't have the technology or the host to bring it to life, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But let's start out with something simple, something that pretty much – I would say everybody knows to some degree.
Oh, yeah. I fucking love this show.
Very familiar. The television show Wipeout.
Dude.
This show was on, I want to say like from 2009 or no, 2006 or something like that to 2011, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere around there. It was on for a few years. And it is a spinoff of the UK television show Total Wipeout. Now, it was the obstacle course that like people went through, and they did the like little pump up, you know, they said weird things and they like ran through this obstacle course with the big balls, the big red balls, or they bounced off of them, or they like were jumping over things, and there's like usually like a gross pond of water underneath them, and it's always so fucking funny. Like, it's hilarious.
It's
like
so
they're
funny.
Definitely getting hurt.
Oh yeah, they're like running on a slip and slide. There's like no way you're not gonna fall. You have to fall.
Yeah, it's
these are regular people. It's not like what's the show American Gladiators or whatever, where it's like an obstacle course,
right? So everybody that does this show, they have to go through like they have to do like a physical, and they have to do like a a medical examination to make sure that they're able to participate.
Okay, but it's like,
and they have to sign like a major waiver and stuff.
It's like an elementary school physical, because there's it's just regular people. It's not like the gladiator one where everyone's like, you know, CrossFit athletes or whatever.
Oh, you mean like American Ninja Warrior?
Yeah, like those people are like, some of them are like Olympians and like,
oh yeah,
they're like ripped and they're doing this stuff that is pretty wild. The wipeout is regular people. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like,
sure.
If
sure.
I did yeah. it, you know,
and you're so in good shape and you're in
in fine shape. I could like run and stuff, but like if I'm flopping off a slippery mushroom or whatever, it's gonna hurt and yeah. I'm gonna like belly flop into the water, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the whole goal of this. Like, you don't you're not watching this to see somebody like get through an obstacle course and look like a fucking champion. You're watching this you're watching this to see somebody like face plant their dong onto a fucking you know, like,
I want to see people punched in dongs by those like you know, thing. It's like the punching things that they have to escape. Yeah. I want them to get punched in the head, the dong, the gut, the butt. I want all of that.
Yeah. This show had all those things. It was great. Yeah. But it was a lot of people got hurt and someone actually died during the filming of – well, not – in the middle of filming, they had an injury and then they got taken to the hospital and they died, like,
The hospital.
Yeah. So there was like a lot of controversy and just stuff happens. Like, you have to have people sign all these waivers and go through all this shit.
Yeah.
But this was also a blatant ripoff of a Japanese show called Takeshi's Castle.
Uh-oh.
Which, if you remember, it was – in America, we watched it, I think, when we were teenagers, early 20s in college.
Yeah.
We watched Most Extreme Elimination Challenge,
yeah.
aka MXC.
Wow. And I love that show.
It was very pubescent humor. and it was like voiceover of a Japanese show, but that was like, that was what it was meant to be. Like, they took the footage from this show, Takeshi's Castle. Sure. Takeshi's Castle.
He lives in a castle, see?
And it was a real good show, see?
And they did voiceover, see? And it was very, very crude, see?
Yeah, but the show, Takeshi's Castle, was a very popular show, and it was it had been like through the 90s they had done this show, and then they did MXC in America like right around the same or like right after.
Mm-hmm.
And so they ended up the company Tokyo Broadcasting System filed a lawsuit against ABC in late 2008. So that's when I think Wipeout came to US, or they tried to make Wipeout a thing. So they had this copyright infringement lawsuit happening right around 2008, and it was pretty much identical to what they were doing on Takeshi's Castle and MXC. Mm. MXC was like goofy and silly, but it was still part of that whole Tokyo Broadcasting System. Like, they were using that footage in exchange for doing it in the U.S.
Oh, okay. It was like they were it was like licensed to them to use.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. So it was alleged that Wipeout violated its copyrights to shows such as Takeshi's Castle and Ninja Warrior. Ninja Warrior started in Japan, and then there's an American version of it. So,
but it's going through the right channels, and the right people are getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the diff.
That's the difference. And so then the Japanese network later sued the Dutch entertainment giant Endemol, which produces Wipeout. I guess they do this in all different countries. Like, they just like started like a farm, mm-hmm. basically, and farming out the show.
Yeah.
And then the companies eventually settled the case back in 2011. But needless to say, I don't know. They just kind of were tapped out after this.
Oh.
ABC was. And they were just like, eh, on to bigger and better things.
Not so, with it. Yeah.
After, I think after 2011, they rolled it all up and it was no more.
Okay.
But it was a really fun show when it was on.
I loved watching that, like, late at night, like, coming back from the bar or something.
Oh, my God.
I just put that on and just, like, cry, laugh.
I know.
It was such a treat.
Oh, it was so good. So that was that show. Everybody, I feel like, is familiar with that.
Yeah.
Now, this show that we're talking about next, I vaguely remember it popping on TV at some point. Like, oh. I remember seeing the teaser for it, but I never actually watched it.
Okay.
The show is called Splash. This was a game show that was on years ago, maybe like 2011? No, maybe 2015.
Oh.
And this is also some Dutch people, man. They're out here with the game shows.
Dang.
This is based on the Dutch series of the same name, Splash. And it has – what the premise is it has celebrities perform dives from extreme heights, and each week the challenges increase in difficulty. So
this is not on my radar at all. Oh, I did not know this was a thing.
I didn't know that – I like vaguely remember seeing a promo for it but never watching it. And I just remember when I saw the commercial for it, I was like, that seems like a bad idea. for all these B-list celebrities to be risking their fucking life and limb to jump off of a high-ass, you know, high dive.
Yeah, because if it's that high and you land wrong, you could, like, break your neck or some shit.
Oh, yeah. You can get really hurt.
Yeah.
And people did.
Oh, no.
So this only lasted for a season. They didn't renew it after the first season. It was coached by Olympic champion Greg Louganis.
Wow.
Big name.
Yeah, big name.
And then the celebrities that competed were critiqued by the judges, London Olympic U.S. gold medalist David Bodia and Australian Olympic athlete and U.S. dive team director Steve Foley. Mm. So, like, legit people were involved in this.
Well,
I mean. Well. Well, they were in the world. And then, like, the celebrities that were involved, not so
legit. Yeah, that's what I thought you were talking about. I was like, these celebrities weren't, like, they're not really the top of their game when they're doing the show. You know what I mean?
No. Well, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he is not a diver, let's just say.
Fair, but is an athlete.
He is a basketball player. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen him in real life?
No, but I would imagine he's very tall and thin.
He's 7 feet 2 inches tall.
Oh, my God.
We, for our honeymoon, went to Belize, and he was in the customs line in front of us.
Whoa.
And he is the tallest human being I've ever been in the presence of. He's just like – and you know, you're like, that's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like, there's nobody else that could be. It was very cool to see him. Anyway, so Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was one of the celebrities. Louis Anderson.
Comedian.
But at the time of filming, he weighed over 400 pounds. So,
whoa. All right.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with Louis Anderson now, but he also not a traditional diver.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah.
And then Chelsea Handler's sidekick, Chewy.
Yeah.
Next person, I don't know who this is because I don't know anything about Nickelodeon, from the show Drake and Josh, Drake Bell, the extreme skier Rory Bushfield, from a former Baywatch star, Nicole Eggert, the girl who played Rudy from The Cosbys, Kashia Knight Pulliman.
Pulliam,
the defensive tackle for the Detroit Lions. I don't know how to say his first name.
Is it Damukong Su? Dimmu Kong's, maybe
it's
the
not,
N is silent.
It's not Kong. It's not Kong, but his last name is Sue.
Okay.
I know his last name's Sue. Miss Alabama and Sports Illustrated model Catherine Webb, mm-hmm. and the former Playboy model and reality show star Kendra Wilkinson. Mm. These were all the celebs that were on the show.
Wow.
I went down a deep rabbit hole of watching clips from the show.
Oh.
And it was just horrifying. Oh, my God.
No.
Like, you can tell, like, as they're standing on the platform.
How scared they are.
They're just scared. Yeah. Yeah.
Of course.
So this was extremely dangerous. The challenges included doing backflips, synchronized dives, and diving off the 33-foot-high diving platform. That's fucking high.
Dude.
You're not just jumping. You're doing, like, a full fucking –
yeah, like
a full flip.
Yeah.
Flip,
like a
twist,
routine
whatever.
Dive, fancy yeah. dive. Yeah, it's
or
not
you're,
just
you're
like
attempting
a dive.
To.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Chewy, who entered the competition not even knowing how to swim.
Well, they taught him.
I guess they had to have. I couldn't watch anything of his because I feel like that's extremely cruel. Like that they.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. It's just like. This whole thing was fucked up.
Yeah.
He was eliminated just before week two because he suffered a broken heel, probably from landing weird in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And he was replaced by Brandi Chastain, the soccer player who scored the winning goal in the World Cup, Women's World Cup legend. And then Louis Anderson sustained mm-hmm. bruised ribs during practice when he was attempting a backflip.
Wow.
During week three of filming, Rory Bushfield ruptured his eardrum during a practice dive. Catherine Webb injured her back and had to drop out on the advice of her doctors. In the second week of taping, Nicole Eggert's arms gave out while doing a handstand on the 5-meter platform, and she fell pretty dramatically. Which freaked people out.
Yeah, her arms gave out, so she fell on her face?
I think she just, like, fell off and, like, her legs hit the platform or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
God.
Then, a few weeks later, she attempted to do a dive with multiple backflips but crashed into the water back first and, like, got hurt pretty bad.
Yeah.
And according to TMZ, the quote, the impact looked so painful, on-site EMTs rushed in to pull a 41-year-old out of the pool. She was taken to a local hospital for evaluation, and she was released several hours later and tweeted, just have swelling and bruising on my back and kidneys.
Oh, my goodness.
And then in the sixth week during rehearsals, Drake Bell crashed face first into the pool, getting a black eye in the process. Like, it's I mean, it doesn't – it seems like kind of benign, you know, because it's like all fun, diving, whatever. But like the height from which they were coming down, and if you don't know exactly what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. It's like landing on concrete.
Yeah. You can hurt yourself really bad. So very dangerous.
That's why you don't jump off like bridges and stuff into water. I mean, mm-mm. also you don't know what's under there. So there could be rocks and stuff and that could be bad. But like
yeah.
it's dangerous to like jump off of really high things.
Yeah. And not just because, like, maybe you do have a deep enough pool to jump into, but, like, you land wrong and you can really hurt your body.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So, yeah, that was dangerous. So that was done after a season.
Oh, my God.
And then the next one that I saw that was, like, ridiculous. This is not dangerous or anything. It's just fucking absurd.
Oh, my God.
And I can't believe this is an actual show. This show was called Scare the Hare. This is obviously British. And
we call them rabbits here.
Yeah. So I guess in the show, the contestants were supposed to complete a series of challenges to win £15,000, which is like
nothing.
Not that much money. And of prize money, and failure to complete the questions and physical challenges risks, quote, scaring a giant robotic hare.
I watched clips from this one, and
I couldn't. It just seemed too cringy.
It was like, I just like the bunny is so early 2000s. Animatronic type. It just is like very cheesy, and it looks like a prototype for like That robot we saw at the hotel in Las Vegas. Was kind of like that with both bunny ears, where it's like very like minimalist, but still is supposed to be cool and like high tech.
Like high tech, yeah.
But it was just kind of weird. But also the host.
It's the Millennium.
Yeah.
Millennium Rabbit.
Yeah. Or it's like the Willennium Rabbit. It's like how Will Smith did the Willennium and he like dressed as robots and stuff. And I don't know. It's like, yeah, someone's idea of space like in 1998. But the host too, I've never seen someone try harder to look like Howie Mandel in my life, which is like, if you're going to look like someone, it doesn't need to be Howie Mandel. Not that there's anything wrong with him, but like, it's just like, you don't accidentally like just bick your head and like thick ass like white glasses.
Yeah.
They're like, he is very Howie Mandel. He's so Howie Mandel, he's even wearing like the scarf that's like circa Kelly Clarkson's Miss Independent. You know what I mean? It's like to a T. His pants, he's wearing like white jeans. It's so Howie Mandel. And I'm just like, I thought it was Howie Mandel. And then he opened his mouth and had an accent. And I was like,
I think he has like a little, he has like a touch of Moby in his.
Oh, yes. But that's the Britishness, fashion. I feel like. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, because Moby's a little more like worldly, maybe.
Moby's not British.
But he's like, he has that vibe about him, I feel like. He's a DJ. He's international.
I guess so. Yeah. Ugh. Gross. There's. I don't know. Like, it's not this. Some of the dumbest stuff I've ever heard of. Also, the narrator for the show is Sue Perkins, who was one of the presenters from the early seasons of The Great British Bake Off.
Oh, okay. I don't know if I know her. I must.
She was like before Noel and what's her name?
Not Sandy. Sue.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Noel and not Sue.
Yeah. Okay, let me just tell you some of the names of some of these dumb fucking games.
Okay, so I can't wait.
So you can get a flavor of what kind of cheesy shit was happening.
Do you want me to guess what the point of each game was based on the name?
Okay. First one, Alarmageddon.
You have to lay in a bed and an alarm goes off and it's like, don't wake daddy. And you have to like jump up and hit the alarm.
That is almost exactly what it is.
Really?
So one player – well, sort of. So one player from each team had to turn off alarm clocks, which turned themselves on until the sun rises. If three alarm clocks went off, the hare was scared and the team won nothing. If the sun rose before the hare was scared, the team won 3 carats. I don't know what the value system of the carats is, but it sounds stupid. I mean, pretty close.
Yeah.
Bangers and smash.
You have to eat as many sausages as you can before the mashed potatoes are done boiling.
Oh, that would be more British than what this is. this game actually sounds very American. So a member of – and this actually sounds extremely fun to me. A member of each team had to throw apples at a series of fireworks, toppling them before the fuses burned down. If they failed to dislodge the firework before this fuse expired, it exploded, frightening the hare. That sounds fun as shit.
Yeah, that sounds fun, but in real life, like real fireworks with real apples.
Yeah. Like that sounds like a redneck-ass game.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Okay, what about hot hair balloons?
I think this is what I watched in the video. I don't remember what, but it's like people in chairs held up by balloons and then they have to pick. Okay, this was really funny. What's that movie where Catherine Zeta-Jones slides her butt
Entrapment.
Down?
Entrapment.
Yeah, okay, it's like Entrapment.
I know that.
All the carrots are entrapped, and then with the lasers, and the people in the chairs up in the ceiling that are like moving have to catch the carrots without touching the lasers.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It was so dumb. The video was so dumb.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Oh, my God.
I hate it all. So... This whole show, the whole premise is so fucking dumb. It's like if a 15-year-old boy and his mom were, like, I don't know, in charge of a bachelorette party or a baby shower or something.
And it was Easter themed.
Yeah, and they were like, ooh, let's, the boy, the, like, 15-year-old boy's like, let's put lasers in there or something.
I just saw this cool movie with a butt in it. It's called Entrapment. What if we, like, do a lasers and put carrots? I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's like, yeah. I hate it. Ugh, I mean, who's
okay.
to say?
Okay, but why... Are you done with that? And why did you put this interstitial about taints?
I did not put anything about taints.
Did someone – was your computer on and someone typed that? I don't know. Did DJ put that? Probably. I was like, okay, there's a note in our notes. Erin did her notes on
what the fuck is that?
Scare the hair, and then there's just something that says interstitial about taints. What's up with them? And it's like what? It's like what's up? W/EM.
That is a DJ note if I've ever seen it.
And I just put ha ha what in all caps. Okay.
I'm gonna beat his ass for crashing our notes.
I was really waiting for like a segue with taints. I'm like, why is taint? Why, like, why is this show? Why do you want to talk about taints? But I will. But like, why?
I honestly didn't even see that, and now I do, and I cannot believe that I missed it.
He's the taint king.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one I really wanted to like because the
good
name.
Good prank, DJ. Sorry.
Yeah. Good prank. I really wanted to like the next one because it's called Naked Jungle. And I was like, yeah. I mean, it's like Naked and Alone or what? Naked and Afraid.
Naked and Afraid, yeah. Yeah,
but that's not really a game show like this is, Naked Jungle is. But it's another British game show from the year 2000. And it's basically like, I think from what I read, it's basically Wipeout in the nude.
Oh, God.
And it's like, I wouldn't want to do that stuff to begin with because I think I get hurt. But also, I don't want to do that stuff naked because, like, what if you like,
rip a sack?
What if you rip a snack or smash a dong?
Snack. Rip a snack. Or catch a flap.
You catch a flap. Even, like, a pube getting caught would hurt. Ugh. Also... what if you, like, accidentally mammogrammed yourself because your boob flopped and then you fell on it? It's like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
But this is wild because this show was actually on Channel 5 in the UK at 11 p.m. on Tuesdays. It was, like, not on a paid cable network. It was
and
just,
they, people were fully nude.
People
and
were
you just
full
saw, like,
frontally nude. And it wasn't and blurred out.
The UK is so funny. I love it.
And then basically what happened is a handful of people competed each week to, like, win that, like, course or whatever, like, the challenge course. And then in the finale, the people who won each week would – they would, like, do some Temple of Doom shit where it was, like, the ultra course, you know, where it's, like, the mouth – that's
the
like
aggro crag.
Yeah, the aggro crag.
Oh, Legends of the Hidden Temple, yeah.
Yeah. And the prize would be £5,000, and that is not a typo. The prize for all of this, getting to the end week after week,
oh my God.
£5,000. What the fuck? Why are all the game shows in the UK such low dollar amounts? To embarrass yourself. Like, I don't understand. I would not participate.
I mean, is it because, like, they're like, I don't know, like, their channels are, like, government subsidized or something? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, the naked one, it's like clearly these people are just want to be naked on TV, but.
Oh, my God.
So maybe that's their prize. So obviously people complained about it because of the titties and the dicks.
I mean, why would you? Like, I understand why you'd be complaining about that, but also, like, you don't have to watch that shit.
Okay, yeah.
That's, I want to watch that shit.
Okay, half the people complained and half the people. Like wrote in and we're like champions of the show and we're like one lady was like it cured my like my postnatal depression or whatever, what is that,
postpartum.
Yeah, she's like it cleared my postpartum depression. And other people were like, we like seeing natural boobies and like women's
hell
rights.
Yeah,
they were like, it's great, like you get to see what women
see,
look like.
Yeah, I want to see like weird floppy dicks and titties and
yeah,
like, you know, weird butts and stuff, like, or like fat butts, skinny butts, concave butts. I want to see all the butts.
Yeah, I don't want to just see porn butts, you know, and just think there's one type of butt. Like, I want
to just want to see a Kardashian butt or a, like,
I want to see the world's butts.
I let me see the butts. Bring them out. Bring out the butts.
Also, okay, this is like it ended up like people were like all in a tizzy about it, like whether they loved it or didn't. But then very quickly they're like, wait, this is boring. Like, we just liked the novelty that people were naked or we were upset by it.
Right.
And then also,
isn't that funny how easily and quickly you get over that? And you're like, this sucks. This,
like, okay, boring. They're naked and now it's just boring. Like the shininess of it wears off. Also, this is just a fun fact that the set that they used was also a set that doubled as a kid's game show on a different station. And honestly, that is unhygienic and not for the kids, okay? Because kids are gross.
Yeah.
And these people's most fragile parts are touching the things that the kids have touched with their, like, boogers and germs. And I just feel like...
You don't want hand and mouth disease on your dick, okay?
You don't want a fucking chicken pox sack, okay? Yeah. Leave that to the not sacks.
You don't want to rub your taint on some fucking gross, sticky-ass kid's drool.
You don't want fucking taint pox, okay? You don't want the taint flu. You know, it's just bad. So, anyway, I searched for clips of this, and you cannot find them. You can find some stills, and it's like, yeah, those are just regular nudist people that like being naked and they look like normal humans' bodies. But you can find it on porn sites maybe, but it's not porn.
It's definitely not.
It couldn't be further from porn. Like, there's nothing sexy about watching someone like make spaghetti or like clip their toenails but naked. You know what I mean?
Is that all it was?
No, but it's just like naked people doing an obstacle course. But I just feel like they're just like doing regular stuff. It's like, what's like sexy about watching someone like climb a hill that's naked? I don't know. You know?
Unless they have some real nice glutes.
Yeah, that's true. And it's that guy that's married to Sofia Vergara.
Oh, yeah.
The werewolf from True Blood, mm-hmm. which, again, I miss that show so much. I heard the song today from it, and I was like,
Joe Manganiello.
Oh, what a werewolf hottie man.
I was, like, reading the description of this, and I was like, how is this different from Naked and Afraid? And it's extremely different.
It's different because it's, like, these are nudists, so it's not like – I feel like Naked and Afraid, they're dropped off without their clothes –
they have to survive. Like
they have to survive. Yeah, these people are like on a children's obstacle course.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like fucking Naked Double Dare or some shit.
I love it. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my God. If Double Dare was naked, that'd be amazing.
Oh my God. It would be. That would be fun, actually.
Just getting up in that nose with all the slime in it.
Yeah. Finding the flags. Or sometimes you were in the mouth. Didn't you have to go in the mouth sometimes?
Yeah, it puked you out. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
All right. Well,
that's somebody's kink for sure.
Yeah, it is. Well, maybe that's why it's on porn sites. Now I kind of want to watch it. You could buy it, too, I think, on, like, DVD or download it or something.
And do it.
Yeah. The next one's American, finally. I feel like everything we've talked about has not been something that originates here, but this one did, and you could tell because it's stupid. This show's called Three's a Crowd. It ran at the end of the year in 19.
Do you know this one? Yeah. Oh,
okay. So it ran at the end of the year in 1979, and there are signs all over it that makes it just right for that year.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it was the Newlywed Game. It was created by the same person that created the Newlywed Game, which they saw a lot of success. So they're like, maybe we can like tweak this a bit and keep making money, which, hello, hashtag America. And so the tagline of this game, Three's a Crowd, is who knows a man better, his wife or his secretary?
My God.
So it's basically just you know, the newlywed game where you ask someone a bunch of questions and the wife and the secretary would answer at the same time and we'd see who knows the man better.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Okay, but it gets worse because they fucking remade this in, I think, the early – oh, in 2000 on the Game Show Network, GSN. And it was hosted by Alan motherfucking Thick.
Alan, what? R.I.P.
R.I.P., but, like, what was he thinking?
Oh, my God.
And they tried to adapt it for the times. Like, the central focus was men and women both. Like, so the contestants change. You know, like, it would sometimes be a dude, sometimes be a lady. And then the pairings were, like, wife and best friend. Like, who knows the person better? Or girlfriend and mother. Which are still kind of, like, male-focused examples. I didn't see any, like, female-focused examples. But I'm guessing they were, like, super demeaning. Like, who knows this woman better, her therapist or her cat? Like, just because it was so sexist. Who knows this woman better, her mother or Ben and Jerry's? Who knows this woman better, her best friend or her vibrator?
It's a toss-up. Real toss-up. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so...
Oh, my God.
That's a
terrible fucking idea.
Yeah.
I bet that was led to the, you know, divorce or the ruin of many marriages.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Like on television. The
secretary
television.
One. Well, especially the secretary one. It's like, wait, how does she know you so well? And then it's like, uh-oh, what's going on here? You're spending a lot of late nights at the office, sir. And then it's like...
Or, like, maybe she's covering up for his dumb fucking bullshit. I don't know.
True. Yeah. And then, or, like, if he didn't know her very well and, yeah, she didn't cover up for his bullshit, was she fired after the show?
Ugh, I hope that the wife and the secretary just got together and fell in love after
the show.
Me too.
That'd
be great.
And then...
That's the best possible outcome, honestly.
I think so. Yeah. The next one is... pretty dumb. It's called, well, it's not that dumb. It's called You're in the Picture. And
this is interesting, like television lore.
Okay, you know this one too.
Yeah.
Okay. It was basically Heads Up, that Ellen game where you like hold your phone in front of your head and it has a name on it and you have to guess, you know, people give you clues and you have to guess what it says. Like, oh, is it a person, a song, a TV show, whatever. And it was hosted by Jackie Gleason, which is... pretty cool. And yeah, it's like in pop culture lore as being like truly one of the worst shows of all time.
Ever. It was the it was just like ill prepared. Like the people who put it together just didn't do a good job with any of the execution of this show.
Yeah, which is wild because I think between all the people like on set, like working and putting this together to produce it, they had like over 300 years of TV production experience. So it wasn't like these people were all noobs. It's just like it somehow became a perfect storm of just like a
everybody got in their ways or some their own way. And it just like was not, it wasn't actualized on television the way, I don't know. Like, it just was, like, a lazy concept that didn't get fully fleshed out somehow.
Maybe. Or they didn't have the right personalities, like, as guests. Like, the fucked up thing. Also, they didn't give it a chance. It aired once.
Yeah. And then they were like, we don't know what to do. And Jackie Gleason's like, I'll just, like, fucking go riff on the time slot and, like, do some stand-up or whatever.
Yep. Yeah.
And he basically just, like... shat on the whole entire show.
Dude, he fucking like, so it aired once in 1961 and then in January of 1961 and was canceled. And he came on, like Aaron saying, the next week during the time slot that it was supposed to be on. It was not like a full set or anything. It was just a chair in front of a wall. And he fucking ranted about like what a failure it was and how bad everyone fucked up and like apologized basically. It was wild. But now people use that. Like apparently it was a really good, like you can watch that in the Smithsonian like museum, like archive of television. Like people watch that. I guess it was like a good example of someone kind of like
taking
taking accountability or something.
Yeah. And it actually, I think it like helped revive his career at that point. He was like kind of on a downward trajectory, and then like that kind of brought his career back to life a little bit.
Yeah, that's just wild.
That like, I don't know.
Wow, that's wild.
Weird. Yeah.
It's yeah.
Pretty cool.
So yeah, it's obviously it was canceled after one episode, and I guess like this is something that's cited a lot when it's talked about, that the 1960 to 1961 television season, which is like, you know, fall to spring. Mm-hmm. So it's always like a weird – it always spans two calendar years. It was the worst in history, and this is always cited as an example of why.
Huh.
Yeah, which I didn't know that, and I wonder what makes it so awful. But maybe that's something to explore.
And uninspired. Everybody is just fucking miserable.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway, the premise was like pretty – dumb. So I was saying it's kind of like Heads Up, but except iPhones didn't exist where they could hold it in front of their head, and they didn't use cue cards or anything. It was called what was it called? In the Picture. Oh, You're in the Picture.
Oh yeah.
And they would have a literal like painting, and they would cut a little hole in it, and you'd if you were the contestant, the celebrity contestant, you'd stick your head in the hole, and you wouldn't be able to see what you were sticking your head into, and then you'd have to ask questions to be like, what am I? And you were like sticking your head into, like, you know those things at carnivals and or like fairs.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like that.
You're or, like a milkmaid or something. Yeah,
like a little Dutch lady in front of a windmill.
I see.
But it was like famous paintings or like scenes that you would know. Like some of the examples in the first and only episode were Pocahontas saving John Smith, a depiction of four playing cards, and a scene of high school hurdlers at a track meet.
Okay.
So it wasn't even like Abraham Lincoln. It wasn't even like famous stuff. It was just like random shit.
That's funny.
Yeah. So anyway, that was pretty stupid, and obviously it did not go well.
A single episode. Well, technically two episodes, but...
But really just one where the game was played.
Woof.
Okay, this last one, I fucking love it, and I can't believe it's been canceled.
Tell me this about this one.
Okay, it's called Shafted. Already we love the name.
Love it.
It's another British game show, and it's kind of like riddles and philosophy and a game. And as I was looking at this, I was like, oh, it's kind of like if The Good Place was a game show.
Ooh.
It's like a mind fuck. Like, and
I'm into it. I'm into it.
You have to like figure out if you're good, if you want to be good, like play good or bad. And it was canceled after four episodes, even though they filmed 20.
Whoa.
So it was like...
They have the content, but it's not there.
People did not like it.
When did this come out?
Okay, this came out in... I don't know. I think like the 2010s.
Uh-huh.
I forget. But somewhere around there. It was like in the mid-2000s. The like 2010s.
So it's like modern. It's not...
Yeah, it's modern. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm gonna – basically the best way to describe this is to go through the rules.
Okay.
Which I hope is not too droning. Okay, round one. The game begins with six players. Each player must secretly declare how much money they would like to receive in their, like, pool or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, what is it? Like, your pot. Okay, mm-hmm. So you get to set the amount you would like to receive and play with to the tune of £25,000. So, like, you could pick it from £1 to £25,000. And this is done in secret. Then once the amounts are revealed, the person who has asked for the largest amount is immediately eliminated from the game.
Huh.
So, after that, everyone who put a lower number gets exactly what they asked for. So there's like strategy involved, because you have to, if you only put in a dollar, you'll probably get through to the next round, but you'll only be able to bet a dollar on any subsequent rounds. So it really is like,
it's already like a yeah, this is like a zero sum game kind of situation. This is, it's cool.
It's wild, right?
I like it. I like it. Yeah, yeah, me yeah. too. This is okay. like a classic. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay, then it comes off the rails a little bit because rounds 2 through 5, the host reads only the first few words of a question, and then the players have to wager what their bet will be on, like, for this round. So it's kind of like the last round of Jeopardy where you have to say what you're willing to bet before you know what the question is.
Uh-huh.
So they say a few words of a question, you put your wager down, then they finish the question, and the person who put the highest wager has to answer it.
Okay.
And the questions are super fucked up. For example, they would ask which major planet, ... and then they'd be like, okay, everybody put your wagers. And uh-huh. then they'd say, great. Which major planet Hollywood investor played the lead in the 2000 remake of Get Carter? And the answer is Sylvester Stallone, which who would
oh,
know that?
My
but
God.
It's like you think, oh, okay, I'm really good at like
astronomy.
Yeah. And then it's like, no, it's a fucking Planet Hollywood question.
That's so funny. That is so good.
It's just like
this
trolling
is the best
people.
Show.
I know. Okay. So
dude, we can make this a board game and it'd be so much fun.
Oh my God, we should. It's so fun. So then obviously if the person gets it right, they whatever they had as their wager, they get that gets added to their total. If they miss it, it gets deducted. Once the host has asked as many questions as there are players still in the game, the leader chooses one opponent to eliminate with no winnings. So after rounds 2 through 5 or whatever, or rounds 2 through 4, the person who's in the lead with the most money can just eliminate someone.
Oh, wow.
So after each round, the person with the biggest total – so they're voting people off. So now by the time we get to round 5, there's only 2 people left.
Okay.
Because the person in each subsequent round who had the highest score got to get rid of someone.
Got it.
So now there's only 2 people remaining. They stand at podiums and they face each other. And now they're both their playing pots, like their pot of money is – they're both equal and they're the higher amount of the two uh-huh. people scores.
Got it.
So – then they fucking play a video from each contestant that was recorded earlier this evening. And it is a backstage interview where they ask a question. If you get to the very end of this game, would you share or shaft? Basically saying, if you're one of the 2 people left, would you vote to share your winnings with the other person? Or would you say, no, fuck you, shaft them, and you want to keep all the money?
Oh, my God.
And the audience doesn't see this in the studio. The host doesn't see it. The players don't see it. Only the at-home viewing audience sees it. So they
what?
Know. Yeah. And then each player is given a chance to change their like answer in the moment. So – they uh-huh. can say, I want to change to the opposite of what I said.
Uh-huh.
And then, but you still don't know what that means because you don't know their original thing.
Okay.
Okay, so they've already decided ahead of time if they're going to be a dick to the other person or they're going to be, like, cool and want to share. And then the final choices are revealed. If they both choose to share, they each win half the money. So they split the pot, you know. Uh-huh. If one chooses share and the other shaft, the shafting player wins all the money. So if you said share and I said shaft, I would win. Cause
that's fucked up.
Yeah. The nice person gets fucked and the rude
shafted.
Person. Yeah. And then if it's both choose shaft, no one wins any money.
Wow.
It is wild. It's the fucking best game show ever. I don't know why this isn't a show. I would watch the shit out of this. Like,
oh, yeah. 100%.
It is wild. But I guess, like, people didn't like it because it was mean, which maybe that had to do with how they, like, played up the answers and stuff. Like, to me, it's, like, a simple, you know, like,
this
philosophical
This is a classic Prisoner's Dilemma game.
Yeah.
Just, like, taken to the extreme.
Yeah.
And this is like this.
You
is
have
like
no
a,
idea what the other person is picking or thinking, but like, and yeah. If you're watching out for each other, great. If you're not, it's gonna be bad.
Yeah.
But also, it maybe got canceled because the host used to do a really crude hand gesture anytime he said shafted with his fist.
Well, that's his fault.
Yeah. And he was apparently really weird. But yeah, I guess like it was just people didn't like it. It was just really mean. Anyway.
Wow.
Sadly, none of these exist anymore, though you could probably watch them on Game Show Network occasionally, maybe.
What's your favorite game show of all time?
Ooh.
Like, if it's on TV, what will you watch? Like will you – I don't know.
I don't know.
What are you into?
I guess I like Wheel of Fortune, if like that type of game show. Mm-hmm. I remember watching Love Connection a lot. As a kid.
Oh,
yeah, I watched a ton of Love Connection. Chuck Woolery.
That guy's a piece of shit. He's yeah. like extremely conservative and terrible.
Oh, really? He's still alive?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And also, I really liked Who Wants to Be a Millionaire when that was
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
in its initial – I just thought it was really exciting. But I can't stand all the commercial breaks, so
– I am a diehard Price is Right fan.
Mm-hmm. Even still?
Oh, even still, yeah. Oh, I mean, wow. I haven't – I don't, like, watch it regularly, but, like, when I was a kid, I would wake up and watch that at 10 a.m. every single morning. Like,
wow.
If I was, like, homesick from school or whatever, or if I, like – when I was in college, like, I would fucking watch the shit out of that show.
Wow.
I need to go on Price is Right.
Yeah, you should.
I know.
It's hard. I feel like – did you watch that documentary about the guy who helped people from the audience?
No.
Oh, you would love this. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. He was always trying to get on, but then they realized – I think he maybe got on and won a couple things, and then they're like, we're not going to pick you anymore. But then he kept going to the audience, and people would always look at him and ask him. He, like, somehow memorized all the prices of everything.
I memorized – well, I mean, not anymore because, like, prices have changed and products have changed that they have on there. But, like, I had, like – I knew exactly how much, like, certain cars were worth and, like
– Oh, my goodness.
Like, different prices of, like, little things. Yeah. Like, all the game. I knew how to play all the games. Like,
oh, my goodness. Yeah, you'll love that show. You'll love that documentary. Ugh. It's good. It's really good.
And then, of course, like, Jeopardy is my fave.
Yeah, Jeopardy I like. I just, yeah, I don't know. Both Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy remind me of my grandma.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening. This is a really fun episode. I liked learning about all these crazy fucking...
Stupid game shows. It is really fun, yeah.
I feel like we're in a bygone era, or game shows are in a bygone era. Like, I don't think that we... pay attention to them as much anymore, or they're like not as popular as they were before. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
I guess like we have like the singing competitions and then like the Masked Singer is like yeah. a thing. I don't know. But
that's like the trend right now.
I've tried watching that and it's just like not interesting at all.
There was one. I mean, they do have game shows. I also feel like we're not in the demographic for them. Like,
no.
They're for, like, older people or, like, you know, like, maybe our moms and dads or something.
I guess.
I don't know. I don't really know who they're for. But I know that there is, like, there are game shows being made. I know, like, Dax Shepard was making one.
Mm-hmm.
There was one where people were in these chairs that moved up and down. And Rob Lowe hosted it, and it was very weird, and you had to, like, answer things. I don't know. They're all just so gimmicky, and it's yeah. like, just have people on, and they answer trivia. Why yeah. does it have to be – we don't need a fucking bunny.
I need to think. I need to think a little bit when I'm watching a game show. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Or it needs
or
to
I need
be
to
full
be like,
physical challenge like Wipeout.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get Double Dare back in the game back in the saddle.
Yeah, but like
I'll watch
adults.
That. Fucking Alexa, calm down. I didn't do anything. Calm down.
Getting Double Dare back in the saddle.
Well, I have a big buffet of great stuff. What you're hankering for? Would you like riddles, jokes, novelty and humor,
oh my stories,
or Audible, or you can ask for more options.
No, thank you.
Which would you like?
Nothing, bitch! God damn it!
Stop, Alexa, stop. Oh my God. This bitch, man.
That's all like right, the problems I was having with Siri, remember? When
I know, she's never in my face like that.
Where are you?
I'm in my bedroom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like at the desk in my bedroom.
Yeah, yeah. Ugh. All right.
All right, well, on that note.
On that note, we're done.
We're done. Follow us on social meds.
Oh, yeah, at DTFU Podcast, all the places.
Go to our website, dtfupodcast.com.
Mm-hmm. Visit our Patreon. There's free content for you.
So. Yeah. Leave us a review, a nice one.
We've gotten some shitty ones lately.
Yeah.
Not really. That makes it sound like we're just getting bad ones. We've gotten some really amazing ones. But then we had one where someone's like, they just talk about diarrhea and shit or something. But then it got deleted because they said shit. And I was like,
yeah, that is what we talk about. This is what this is.
I know. I mean, like, what are you expecting? We're not the fucking Encyclopedia Britannica. You know what I mean?
We're not talking about fucking flower arrangements and goddamn, I don't know.
Yeah.
Makeup tutorials.
Yeah.
Although I would. I love that shit.
I would, yeah.
all right. Thank you guys for listening. Stay hunkered down. Stay healthy. And stay excellent to yourselves.
And each other.
Bye-bye.
Bye.